Hermes, in order to speak to Thoth directly, now uses a traditional Hermetic way of speaking. He uses what would be an analogy, and then he turns the analogy 90 degrees so that Thoth can see that there was no analogy there at all. The reason for this is as follows. In order for an analogy to hold in someone's hearing, the analogy is dependent upon polarization. Analogy and polarity always go together. If you turn a polarity 90 degrees, if you make a right angle, a perpendicular to a polarity, the polarity loses its conflict opposite energy and achieves a ratio energy and becomes a complementation. That's the symbolic esoteric meaning of the right triangle in Pythagorean lore. It was the first symbol used in the Greek world that Pythagoras brought back not only from Egypt but from ancient Persia. He was in Egypt for 22 years and Persia for 11 years. And he brought back the right triangle so that one in the Greek world had a way to have a mental symbol, a geometrically visualized symbol that transcended an imagined image. Because the triangle is an imagined image, so it is an image, but when you think of the triangle in terms of its relationalities, it becomes a symbol. And the transformation from image to symbol is exactly the transformation of something that depends on the outer world as a referent for its meaning and something that has its own interior relationality for its meaning. A symbol has a relationality in itself, and that's where the meaning is. To think that one can decipher a symbol like a dream symbol by looking it up in a dream book is utter foolishness. What does the dream mean? The dream means what the dream is, not what some book says it means. And so if you have a dream analyst who's telling you what this means in terms of other things, you're wasting your money. Hermes here takes it to another level, a level higher. He takes it to the level where he says, Thoth, you must learn to see awake, not in terms of dream figures. Why is this so? Dream figures are mythic images, and mythic images only constellate themselves in the lines of tensions which a polarity engenders. Where does the polarity come from? It comes from ritual comportment. And as long as the rituals are intact, then the tensions will generate the figures of the myth, and the myths will be able to be told and heard. All of this is very nice for a nature-based culture, and necessary for a nature-based culture to survive and exist. But there is no transcendence there whatsoever. Someone who transcends in a nature culture is considered a demonic, sick outlaw and is thrown out. The individual is a guaranteed saboteur in terms of a traditional ritual culture. You may not do this. This is not how we do these things. And you are told that, and you are expected to comport. But here, the point is not to blend in to an anthropologically stable culture, but to transcend to a higher power of personality. And so Hermes says, Thoth, you must awaken from your dream imaging and see in terms of vision. Only when the mind becomes activated through changing the integral mythic language, which is based upon ritual, to a differential vision, which is based upon symbol, do you have the right pivot on which to then engender consciousness and live in a five-dimensional continuum? The transformation comes in between symbol and vision. The ancient word for vision, taken from Persia, was magic. What comes out of the ability to interiorize symbols? A magic realm, a magic language. And a magic language is radically different from a mythic language. A mythic language tells stories. A magic language tells the storyteller who he is. It is radically different. And therefore, the Greek word for this was gnosis. Gnosis. And so when the Delphic oracle said to Socrates, Nothisutan, know thyself. The only way to know thyself is to come forth out of the worldly identification that you thought you were. Step away from that body. You're not that person at all. And it's not the childish thing of a psyche leaving the body and going astral traveling. It's the actuality of the personality stepping forth in a five-dimensional continuum and being conscious that that old world belongs to a time-space level without consciousness and is whole dimensional orders away from what is now real. I am not now the man I was. And the only reason to go back is to be a helper, a teacher. And there's no other reason. There's nothing to be offered. And so Hermes, in this particular dialogue, says mortal forms are always tied to changing illusions for meaning. They're always limited by boundaries, like boundaries of ritual. You can only do this. This is the way that we do it. In anthropology, we would use the term after Levi Strauss's structuralist generation of liminal. These liminal boundaries are there to preserve one thing only, and that is the tradition. You must fold into the tradition, for it is the movement of the tradition in its circle that guarantees what is real. There is no way out of that pattern except through the center. When a wheel is spinning with all of that momentum of the power of tribal cultural tradition, you cannot step off the wheel without being flung out someplace crazy. But the only place the wheel's not spinning is on the hub. And because in actual fact, there's no axle in the hub is completely open and motionless, and one can be there and be free. Free to leave, to go straight up like the soul core. Leave it behind. Or if one is a world teacher, bring the whole pattern up through that to a higher level. This can be done. This was done 2,000 years ago. This is the way wisdom was. It takes obedience to sociological laws to firm up the changing illusions of the world into ritual determinants so that they appear solid. This is the function of politics and religion and doctrinal culture working together to net the whole thing together. And one is told that this is what is real. This is what is practical. And indeed, as long as one is enfolded in that particular pattern, that is what's real, that is what's practical. That's the wise politics, that's the actual religion, that is the way in which the ritual doctrinal culture works and needs to stay. But a beyond, now our discourse says, a beyond is apprehended, not in terms of anything on this wheel, but in terms of the silence itself. Because the silence in the hub of the wheel doesn't have anything on the wheel as its referent. It would have an axle for its referent, but one discovers that this wheel is not a real wheel. It's fictive. It was made up. It doesn't belong anywhere in a universe of reality. It was a dream. If there had been an axle in the hub, then it would have been real. But it's empty. Only God's smile is there. And one can leave any time. Throw their badge in the dust and ride out of town. So Hermes says, this beyond is apprehended by the itself alone. And Tot says, Hermes, when you put this thought to me, my senses are stopped up. And the spiritual teacher says his version of good. He says, it is even so, my son. Your senses are stopped up. Because this thought displaces what were these sensory nets. And then he says, what you need to know to transform from a student to a teacher is just simply this. Now that your senses are stopped up by this thought, draw this thought into your silence. And as you draw this thought into your silence, realization will come out of it. You don't have to force anything at all. Effortless. This process of drawing it into the silence and letting it flower is called cleansing. That's what this document says. This Hermetic discourse calls it cleansing. Cleanse yourself from the irrational torments of materiality. And Tot says, have I such torturers within me, Father? And Hermes says, yes, many. Tot says, I do not know them. And Hermes says, the ignorance which is not knowing them is the very first of 12. And that ignorance leads progressively and successively to the other 12, grief, incontinence, desire, injustice, covetousness, deceitfulness, and on. And that this series of 12 occur all the time because ignorance starts it off. And as soon as one transforms ignorance, the others in this pattern no longer occur. They only occurred because the one before them occurred, and that one occurred because the one before it occurred. But the entrance to that whole sequence, the trigger, is ignorance of not knowing that they were there. And as soon as one transforms that ignorance into knowing that they are there, it alters forever. The sequence no longer has the compulsive power to reproduce itself exactly, and it begins to sputter. It's like a car engine that begins to miss. And you suddenly realize that you cannot trust this illusionary world of dependent origination. And the more that one transforms the ignorance into gnosis, the more that one begins to leave the suffering of the imprisoned body It's not that the body is a prison, but it's the suffering that imprisons the body. One is saving. What is one saving? One is saving one's body from a suffering realm. And the departure will leave this overheated hell of a room in just a minute. The departure, Hermes says, is like that. Together, all at once. One can weaken by cracking ignorance with little realizations. But when one pulls the pattern which has been laid out in a progressive way, it takes about a year to lay out the integral pattern. That's what my Saturday course does. It lays out that whole pattern for about a year. And if you pull the whole pattern together in, it all leaves at once. Hermes says, this is the manner of rebirth. It's the leaving of this realm of suffering that's the rebirth. And now, my son, he says, we must keep a solemn silence, and in the silence which we keep together, we will experience, the English translation that Scott uses for the Greek here is mercy. We will experience a mercy which comes in to us from God. And the only thing that follows in the dialogue, in the discourse after this, is a prayer. And the rebirth prayer is exceedingly beautiful. I'll just give you a few of the lines, and then we'll call it an evening. Let every acceptant recess of the universe be flung open to me, and let all nature receive the sound of this my hymn. Be opened, O earth, and trees, wave not your boughs, for I am about to sing the praise of him who is both the all and the one. Be opened, all you heavens, and all you winds, be still. Let the immortal sphere of heaven resonate to this hymn. And that's how it begins. And so 1900 years ago, that's the way wisdom would have been taught. We'll finish up next week.